Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And y'all know what I'm going to say. It is a great word today. We are kind of deviating from our norm, which is normally Old Testament Friday. This morning, God just put in my heart to make a New Testament Friday. And we are in the book of Luke. And what God gave me was beware of covetousness. For one's life doesn't consist in possessions. I was like, wow, he's all up in today's word. What we possess doesn't, beware of covetousness. For one's life doesn't consist in possessions. What you have doesn't mean who you are. And the bottom line, we've spoken this many a time on this blog, and that is you can't take anything with you. You can't take anything. You can't take your clothes. You can't take your shoes. You can't take your jewelry. You can't take anything. Only thing that's going with you when you leave this world is your soul. And the question is, how is your soul with God? Are you doing right? Are you living right? Are you worrying? I know I have been that person. Worrying about, okay, Lord, I got to pay this bill. I got to pay that bill. And then God will show you. When you think you don't want have enough, he will show you where he has given you overflow and that you need to quit complaining and start doing what you need to do, because it's not about me, it's not about you, it's all about him. What are you doing for the kingdom? Are you worried about everything but your soul? Again, everything you possess, as you look around your room, as you look outside, as you look at maybe the car you're in right now, driving to work, it does not matter. You can't take it with you. We have to work on the possession of our soul. Is your soul possessed by God? Are you covered by the blood of the Lamb? God loves us more than we could ever imagine. And he wants the best for us. All we have to do is trust him. Trust him that he will provide everything you need. And that you don't have to worry about accumulation. Because we can sometimes accumulate so much that we feel overwhelmed and we have become hoarders, and we don't want to be in that position. So let's pray and let's get into the word, because we got a lot of word this morning and some Bible, what the Bible says, and some life lessons I really believe should be read this morning. So we got a lot on our plate, but it's going to be all right. So, Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning with a cheerful heart, with a heart so full. You woke me up this morning. A heart so full that you gave me another day. You gave me a do-over, God. And I ask you right now, Lord God, to lead and guide me through this word. Take control, God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, Father God. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my Father, and I love you more than anything. In the precious name of the matchless Savior, let us never forget that all things come from you, Lord. That all things come come from you. The breath in our body comes from you. The pep in our step comes from you. The hallelujah, we holler, we scream. We give you highest praise to you. So, Father God, hallelujah. Thank you for this day that you have made, Christ Jesus. I thank you for the life you gave. For you didn't have to do it, but you did for me when you died on Calvary. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. Thank you, Father God, for your love. Thank you, Lord, that I can come directly to you. No third parties involved, just me and you having our conversations, which we do. So I thank you, Father God, for provision. I thank you, Father God, for your love and your grace and your mercy. I thank you, Father God, for your Son, who is my Savior and my friend. And it's in his name, the name of Christ Jesus, I pray, believing and trusting in you, Lord, that all things are working for good. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Word is powerful. And I just to get out my housekeeping notes now. We are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I will tell everybody, you need to get this Bible for your biblical arsenal. Again, what do we fight with? We fight with the Word of God. This is that sword that holds us up when we come against the enemy. We've got to have it. We've got to put on our full armor because the devil is busy. He's real busy. And we got to ask God to put a hedge of protection around our children. As your children go to school, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whatever children are in your life, if you are responsible for taking them to school, pray over them. Pray over the children you just see standing at the bus stop on your way to work. Pray over the children you see just running down the street when you get off work. Pray, pray, and pray some more for God to cover our children. Because the devil is not our children, my grandchildren, and any other grandchildren I may have. I bind them up with the blood of Jesus, covering them from the crowns of their heads to the soles of their feet. For they are God's children. So we pray, and we pray some more. For we know that God is in charge. And that the slimy snake can't do nothing without permission. Hallelujah. So let's get into our word this morning. It's a great word because God wants to remind us that he is our provider, that he is the one that gives us everything we need. He is in charge, not us, not the tax man, because I know many are finishing up, working on getting the taxes done, me included. And I had to come to some understanding. Lord, you're in charge of this. I'm going to start worrying. I'm getting my paperwork and all my stuff together. I just have to put some numbers in. Part of it is done, and then I have the last part to do. But I just say, God is good all the time. And he will give you a reality check on yourself and what you got to do for the kingdom. So thanking God again for my reality check and making me understand I'm blessed, real blessed beyond measure, and that I need to quit worrying. And because again, what do? We don't worry. We pray. Hallelujah. So thanking God for spending time with me and listening to me and responding. I will do what you say do, Lord, and I thank you. And it tells us this, in the meantime, when an immeasurable multitude of people had gathered together, and I am in Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 1. An innumerable, meaning so many people you can't count, multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another. He began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark, there's the real word. Because we'll say, well, you know, whatever's done in the dark comes to light. Well, this is that word that it comes from. And this is what the actual scripture says. Therefore, whatever you have spoken will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetop. So we got to watch what we say. Again, it comes to that little thing behind your teeth called a tongue that can cut like a knife or that can heal a broken heart and soothe a broken spirit. But he has told us to beware of hypocrisy. And that's all of us as ministers. How many churches have fallen? How many churches have closed their doors? Some because of COVID, others because of mismanagement, and some because they wasn't doing right. And God had to show it. We all know what happened to many of these mega churches falling, a whole bunch of them falling. We got to be careful what we do, because God will show your hypocrisy. God will show what's been done in the dark. He will show what's been spoken, that it will all come out. All we got to do is know that God got us covered and that he loves us and that he wants the best for us. And he wants us to know that we are loved. But he will tell you up front, beware. Beware that we are not those folks doing a whole lot of talking, but not doing what's right and helping our brothers and sisters. And it says, and say to you, and I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. Come on now. And after that, have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say you, fear him. In other words, fear God. She said, woo-woo said down the street about you. You know, fear God. This body is a shell. It's what we live in while we're on this planet. But when we die, this body goes back to the dust from whence it came. And what lives on is your spirit. We got to fear God because man has no heaven or hell to turn, put you into. Only God. We got to trust God. It says, are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. Therefore, you are more valued than many sparrows. Woo, hallelujah. Also, I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him, the Son of Man, also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. Come on now. How many times have you heard that little atheist commercial by Ronald Reagan Jr. where he tells, well, I'm not afraid of hell. Well, you should be. You should be. Trying to change our children from children who love God to children who don't believe. We have got to get the word out that there is a God and that he loves them. This is the next generation. And if we don't pour the Holy Spirit out of us on the name of Jesus, that they hear all this negativity, they hear everything, see everything, and we sitting on our hands. Talk about, well, we sure really need some more kids in the church. We got to go get them. We got to speak on it. We got to do what we're supposed to do as parents and grandparents. Take your grandkids and your children to church. We got work to do. We got a generation that has no idea who Jesus is. They think Easter is about a doggone bunny. They think Christmas is about a little fat elf in a red suit. Don't understand there's no Christmas without Christ. And we are the responsible ones that have to get the word out in his word, what we got to do. We so busy looking at what somebody has and not thinking about our souls. And Jesus is speaking today. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. Now, when they bring you to the synagogues, our churches, as we're going to put it in today's vernacular, and courts. So it says, now when they bring you before the synagogues, the churches, and the magistrates, the courts, and the authorities, we're talking jail folks, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Understand, there may come a time when Christianity is outlawed, where Christianity is told you can't be a Christian. You can't call on the name of Jesus. You can't say anything about your God. Only say the name of some dictator or authoritarian. We've got to be careful. The Lord is getting us prepared that you may have to go to court and proclaim, I love Jesus. I know he's my Savior. And if it costs me my life, I'd rather die proclaiming the name of Jesus than to live proclaiming the name of anybody else. We got to have we are not afraid. We are not afraid. We walk not in fear, but in faith. And as we continue in this word this morning, he says this. Then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said it to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And that's our title for this morning, is a combination from this word. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and goods. And I will say to my soul, So you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then who will those things be which you have provided? Damn. You know, I remember years and years and years ago watching New Jack City and Nino Brown thinking he had walked out of the court. He was all cool because he's like, they can't get me. And this little old man, nobody paying attention, shoots him and says, This night your soul will be required of you in hell. A little bit of the word and a lot of it of the man. But he died. He killed Nino Brown. Biggest drug dealer OG that you ever seen. But I tell you this, all of us will have our soul required one day as we stand before God. But God said him, fool. He called him a fool. You know that's serious. This night, not tomorrow, not next week, will be required of you. Then who will those things be which you have provided? So if he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God, then he said to the disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, now about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add one more cubit? One more cubic. The devil must be mad because I have cut my alarm off numerous times and it keeps coming back up. So I know that the devil's mad. He don't want this word to go out, that we don't depend on stuff. We depend on God. And it tells us, and which of you by worrying can add one cubic to his stature? Not a one of us. If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? And when I read that one time, I remember some years ago, and, you know, even today, reading that, how much is this, and which of you by worrying can add one cubic to a statue? I'm a short person. I am a little bit vertically challenged. And I thought, I can't add another inch. I can't add another foot into my stature, into my height. I am 5 feet tall, and I told my doctor I refuse to say I'm shrinking to 4'11". It's not happening. So I'm just going on and putting it out there. Don't even tell me I'm 4'11", because the devil is a lie. And I think I shocked the nurse when I said it. But I'm like, I'm 5 feet tall. I've been 5 feet tall for all these 60-plus years. And that's where I'm staying. Thank you. And so, and yes, I'm a little older than I sound, but because I get excited, so I have a youthful voice. Hallelujah. So I'm thanking God for it. But I tell you, couldn't add an inch. I used to do them little stretching exercises, you know, stretch, you know, you stand on your tippy toes, you tippy toes and down, tippy toes and down. And then you take and you try to get on the jungle gym to stretch out your arms and stretch out your body. It don't work. I was not meant to be tall, so I can't add another inch to my height. Can't do it. So, again, the word of God tells us, if you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you a little faith. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink. But I have an anxious mind for all these things. The nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and of all these things shall be added to you. Not fear, little flock. Woo, hallelujah. This word is for me, y'all. But it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags, which do not grow old. A treasure is in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. But where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Hallelujah. Is your treasure with God this morning? Are you thanking him for the provision? Are you thanking him for the food that you eat? Are you thanking him for the bed you slept in? Are you thanking him for his grace, because there's somebody who did not have a bed. There's somebody who is barely making it because they don't have a home. We got, oh, Jesus, we got to love each other. We got to care, and we got to know that God is in charge. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 49. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourself be like men who wait for their masters when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come in, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So listen to them folks after talking about. And this is coming on June the 1st, 20. No, I think that back then it was 2000. Everybody just knew the world was about to end when we hit the new millennium. Oh, 2000 is the end. And you had folks committing suicide. You had people scamming and grifting, folks giving up everything they owned because they just knew that the earth was ending, because some prophet, proper liar, call them like they are, told them that the world was going to end, that this was the day. What did God say in his word? Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We don't know when Jesus is coming. We don't know when we might fall dead. We don't know anything. All we know is that every day is a blessing, and we need to thank God for it. And then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise servant whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their possession of food, their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him into and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. That's the Lord. We don't know when God is coming, but we know every day we should treat each other with the love and respect that is due. We need to love and not hate. We need to build up and not tear down. God is looking at everything we're doing and how we're doing it. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. Everyone, too much is given. Are you listening? To everyone, too much is given. I say it again. To everyone, whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. You know, again, when you look at your hand, when it's open and it's flat for you to give and for you to receive. But when you close that fist, there's just a little bit of space that come in. Just a little can come in, but a whole lot can go out when you least expect it. We got to give what God says give and do what God says do. You know, this morning, when I got up. I got up early this morning. And I heard the voice of Jesus say, go ahead and take your bath. And I'm like, well, you know. And then I heard the Lord say, you don't want to run late. And then the parable of the bride to my spirit, it was like he was speaking to me. Remember the bride, how five were not prepared, did not make it in. You want to be one that's prepared and make it in. I'm like, I jumped in that shower. Like, you thought I was on fire. I was in there quickening the earth. I'm like, yes, Lord. I'm ready, getting ready for work, ready for work. When it's time for me to walk out the door, I'll be ready to go. Not delayed. Hallelujah. Because Jesus said, I don't want to be like the late bride. I want to be on time. Entrusting me to lead service last night. Everything was done decent in order and on time. Because I know how she likes things done. And that's how we have to do. We got to know how God likes things done. And we got to do it. We got to be like that little Nike swoosh. We got to just do it. When God says get up, get up. When God says move, move. Don't wait. The battle is over. We got to shout now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory and the honor and the praise. Hallelujah. Amen. And then it says, I came to send fire on the earth. Remember we talked about it, that it would, the earth would not be destroyed by water ever again. The Lord said, because why he sent the rainbow. If all those folks freaking out over the rainbow, get a life. You know, we get all caught up in foolishness. God gave the rainbow. We don't have, just like Santa Claus came from you know who, just like the Easter Bunny came from you know who, just like he trying to take over the rainbow, we are not allowing it today. Get behind me, Satan. Not today. God gave me that rainbow. It comes after the latter rain. And I'm going to trust God. That is my covenant with him. So don't get caught up in all the hype of everything going on. Well, something is woke. You know what? Let me say this. And then I'm going to keep it moving. Woke. I'd rather be woke than asleep. Because Jesus is coming, and I want to be ready. So if anybody talks about and tries to make you feel, well, oh, somebody's sounding woke, yes, I am. Be awake than asleep when the Savior comes, because I want to have my bags packed. And when he says, are you ready, I want to say, yes, I am. Hallelujah. And he says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and have distress. I am till it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? Come on, Jesus. You better tell somebody something. I tell you at all, but rather division. But from now on, five in one house will be divided. Three against two and two against three. Woo! We wonder why stuff is going on. Jesus has already given us warning. Father will be divided against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Then he also said to the multitude, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather. And there it is. Hypocrite, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it you do not discern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite. The Lord God is speaking to us today. getting us prepared. He's getting us ready. Are you ready for Jesus? And as we go back to chapter 12, to look at some life lessons today. And the first is this. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. He will come and serve them. Servants serve and masters get served. At least that's the way it works in this world. But Jesus says when he returns to settle accounts. And I pray daily, Lord, let my account be in good order. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. Jesus does not give us gifts and talents and resources merely to spend them on ourselves. He gives them to us so that we might use them to expand his kingdom and to meet the needs of others, especially fellow believers. God didn't tell you to sit on stuff. He wants us to be kind. He wants us to help others. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be worry-free. And this is what he says in Luke chapter 12. Money and worries. You know, let's call it straight. So many get caught up in the money and the worries of life. And it says every day you face decisions that express what you really believe about God. You're constantly making choices that demonstrate what you truly depend upon for your security. Of course, for most people, nothing represents a breach in security or inspires fear as quickly as concerns over money. Of all of Satan's schemes, his deception concerning wealth has become one of the most successful in turning people's hearts away from God. 1 Timothy 6:10 reminds us, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Can I say it again? First Timothy 6:10. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They will frequently use the perceived need for material security against you. Been there, done that, I forgot to trust God t-shirt. I'm just being honest. You got to stay it straight. Have had so many stupid things done because of money. Motivating you through fear of the future to choose against trusting God. Come on now. This can happen in 100 different ways, but it generally involves clear-cut, abate difficult choices that will either honor God or temporarily calm your fears. You better seek Dr. Stanley. On one side is God's way, the path he has directed you to through his word and spirit. On the other side is the common sense choice, the option that appears to earthly wisdom, preaching for the man in the crowd. The issue was his inheritance. In Luke 12 and 13, he said, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Although the man may have had a right to the inheritance, Jesus saw right away that it was the stumbling block to him. It was blinding him to the truly important issue. Not only was the man willing to divide his family over his claim, but his desire for his portion of the inheritance was impeding him from receiving the salvation Jesus was preaching. Come on now. Jesus was there to offer him eternal life, and all he could think about was the money owed to him. That is why Jesus responded, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the thing he possesses. Luke 12 and 15, though here on earth it may seem like money moves the world, it doesn't. God does. The wealth or lack thereof has nothing to do with your security. It is only a mirage of a world that is fading away. Only God keeps you truly safe. He is the one who feeds you and clothes you. Come on now. He is the one who protects your life and will one day require it of you. Remember that whenever you are confronted with a dilemma about money issues, do what honors God. And always remember Jesus' word of encouragement. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags, which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. But where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Where's your treasure today? You are worth a lot more than the assets in your portfolio. And your Father knows your needs even before you ask him. Therefore, do not fear. Honor God and trust him to be your security in every situation. Because when he is your treasure, you truly have everything you need and much, much more. Can you trust God today? That was a word that God gave me. Trust me. Don't worry about what, this, that, or the other. I got you. And I believe that. I believe God. And as we go into the next life lesson, chapter 12, verse 6, are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Jesus says that God remembers even the sparrows that end up for sale at a market. He knows their plight. Even so, he knows our situation. He never forgets us, even when our trials make it seem as though he has. That word one more time that our word for today is coming from. Luke chapter 12, verse 15, beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. True satisfaction in life flows out of fulfilling the purpose for which we were created, to enjoy an intimate relationship with God. As a substitute for God, acquiring material access only makes the heart feel more hollow. All the stuff in the world, again, will be here when you are gone. And then what can you do about it? Not a doggone thing. God is in charge. We want our soul to rest in his arms. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 13. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they sacrificed suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Of those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also till I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it for 18 years, be loosed from this bond of the Sabbath? And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then he said, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden. And it grew and became a large tree. And the birds of the air nested in its branches. And again he said, to what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And a couple of life lessons from Luke chapter 13. This has been a great word this morning. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. The victims of tragedies are not necessarily the recipients of divine judgment. And when I read that, I thought about our children that have been killed in school shootings for a long, long time. Just this year, there have been 20 school shootings since January. And all these babies are not being killed for divine judgment. And as Jesus says, unless you repent, you will be, will all likewise perish. The victims of tragedies are not necessarily the recipients of divine judgment. Yet because we live in a dangerous world where tragedies occur without warning, we must always be ready to meet our God. Are you ready? And then he asked the question when he loosed this woman from her bound, her being bound, bent over, couldn't hold her body up. Infirmed. And he asked these hypocrites, come say, well, 6 days you should be healing on the Sabbath. Well, excuse me. What is the Sabbath but the Lord's day? Is the Sabbath but the Lord's day? When it says, ought not this woman whom Satan has bound for 18 years be loosed from this bound on the Sabbath? Well, we care more for keeping rules, come on, than we do for the welfare of people made in God's image. We miss the whole point of our existence. The Bible says love is the fulfillment of the law, Romans 13 and 10. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Jesus healed because he loved. Have God to love 24/7. Even the most awful people, you got to still love them, and you got to still pray for them, that they who may not know the Lord will get to know him, that they will get to know God up close and personal, because all of us need to be saved. We all fall short, but God loves us anyway. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness. And I have time now to do today's psalm and proverb. And the psalm for today is this, the 45th psalm, verses 6 through 17. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and alloy and cassia, out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. King's daughters are among your honorable women. At your right hand stands the queen of gold from Ophir. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also in your father's house. So the king will greatly desire your beauty, because he is your Lord. Worship him. And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. Among the people will seek your favor. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She will be brought to the king in robes of many colors. The virgins, her companions, who follow her shall be brought to you with gladness and rejoicing. They shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Instead of your fathers shall be your sons, whom you shall make princes in all the earth. I will make your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore the people shall praise you forever and ever. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 6. A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. Are you understanding the word today? It has been rich. It has been full. It has been what we need. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord, the word this morning. And I love the life lesson for this morning from the 45th Psalm, verse number 7. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness. It really is not more fun to do evil than to do good. When we willingly obey God, he rewards our obedience with the oil of gladness, a satisfaction and joy that penetrates all the way to the heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for this mighty word. And as we go into our psalm, our next psalm is the 46th psalm, verses 1 through 6. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah, a song for Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. She shall help. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. And the word is, God is our refuge and strength, our present help in trouble. On some days we may feel as if our world has been shaken and everything we depend upon has been cast into the sea. But if we put our hope in God, we have no need to fear, because he is truly the refuge that can never be moved. In fact, sometimes God will allow all of our earthly security to fail us so that we will learn to depend upon him better. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And this is our proverb, and it is this. Proverb 14, verse 17 through 11. Go from the presence of a foolish man. When you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways. But the folly of fools is deceit. You think God is speaking today. Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is favor. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. The house of the wicked will be overthrown, but the tent of the upright will flourish. And the last thing, it says, how can I deal with the anger or bitterness of another? You know, we don't want to be around folks always negative. Face all scrunched up. Every time you see them, they can't say nothing good about anything. It gets tiresome. And this is what Dr. Stanley says from verse 10. The heart knows its own bitterness, and a stranger does not share its joy. The unfortunate fact is, sooner or later, all of us will run into someone who feels angry or bitter toward us. What should we do when you find yourself the object of another's bitterness? How should you respond to someone's red-hot anger aimed straight at you? Responding to bitterness with more bitterness leads only to a combative and even explosive situation. So what should you do? First, tell yourself the truth about the situation. What happened? How did the situation unfold? Are you really at fault? It may be that you can't entirely reconstruct the event in question, but try your best to honestly recall what led to the outburst. Second, listen carefully to what the bitter person is saying. Bitterness and anger are usually the offshoots of deep hurt. Things that you are really upset. Can we talk about it? Even such a simple question may help to diffuse the situation. And even if it doesn't, you may not be able to turn the bitterness around in someone else's life. You can stop it from taking root in your own heart by asking God to help you understand why this person feels the way he or she does. Third, ask come under personal attack. It is very important to recall God's personal love for you. You may have made mistakes, but that does not change the Lord's feelings about you. Ask him to encourage you through his word. Fourth, ask God to help you respond with his love and grace and to protect you from angry attacks. In Psalm 64, we read how one man prayed for God's deliverance from the attacks of an embittered enemy. Bitterness is a much deeper and more complex reaction than a simple expression of quick anger. It is a satanic stronghold and needs to be faced in an honest manner. So beware lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble by this many become defiled. Hebrews 12:15. When you find yourself the target of a bitter accusation or a hateful personal attack, pray for God's protection. Ask him to give you wisdom in dealing with the other person as well as a healthy perspective on the entire matter. Your reaction to assault is the most important issue with God. Therefore, be firm but loving in what you do and say. I don't know who that was for, but may God watch over you and bless you. And before we get out, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. It has been a rich word this morning. And the word for today, right on point with our word. Good morning. Faith is taking the first step. When you don't see the whole staircase, have a faith-filled Friday. And I say to you, family, have a faith-filled Friday. And thank you for joining me this morning as we move forward in God's word. And it has been a great word today. Just remember, beware of God. One's life doesn't consist. Have a great day, family. It is a wrap. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're out and one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Have a faith-filled Friday, knowing that you are covered from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet by the blood of the Lamb. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap because I have to go to work and I have to go out of town. So thank you so much. Be blessed. It's a wrap.